Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Well, let's pray. Jesus, today we want to hear from your Word. And Lord, I pray today that we would get a real knowledge of the not only of the unknown God that is seemingly unknown to folks, but we will realize that you have put in eternity in the hearts of all men. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we get a revelation of who you are, that any idolatrous behavior or any idolatrous predisposition that we have would be eradicated, and today we would break free to worship you in spirit and in truth. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll give you all the glory, all the honor and praise, for we ask all these mighty things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry about the kind of rough start there, but we got there, and thank you to our media folks. Well, as a carryover from last week, I just want to say we must remove idols. I want to say this. We must not just remove idols, but rather replace them with genuine worship. You say, well, you get the idol out of your house. Any of you remember back in the day, did your mom have one of those Jaguar things, those black ones with the green eyes? Anybody remember those? Oh, those were the rage back in the day. Raise your hand. I want you to let you know I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. And it sat in a prominent place. See, that idolatrous thing sat on our TV set, and I was scared of that thing. My mama wasn't going to let go of her Jaguar. But it's interesting, and I'm not saying that anybody worshiped it, but it's interesting, you find certain things in your mind that you remember them. And they just take a preeminence in our life. Well, temporary substitutes, regardless of how great or small, will capture our attention and move it away from a genuine encounter with the Lord. Very little has changed over the years. We seek to find something new or unusual to capture our attention. Now, today, I want to just accelerate ourselves to a couple of things. First of all, a scripture we'll get to in a moment, but the Lord says this, and we'll read the scripture on it. It says, to whom shall you liken me, or shall I be equal? What have we found in our life that we've equated on the same level as our relationship with Jesus? Some people say, oh, no, nothing. Well, maybe not. Rather than debate that at this point, let's go to number two. It says this. Salvation was never designed to replace our desire to know Jesus. You see, that's kind of an interesting statement. Because some of us get fixed on the fact, well, I'm saved, and we forget about who saved us. Hello. You've been saved from, but by who? And it's the who of Jesus that sometimes we forget. And so that's what we want to just reacquaint ourselves with, that because sometimes he becomes the unknown God. And thirdly, our desire to know Jesus is fulfilled as we discover the fullness, his fullness in worship. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 7. Now you'll understand the scripture. True worship can only happen when you get to know him. And this is what it says. To whom shall you liken me and make me equal and compare me? That we should be alike. They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes a god. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. And verse 7 says this. They bear it on the shoulder. They carry it and set it in its place. And it stands, and from its place it shall not move. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. And I say, well, that sounds kind of archaic language and this type of thing. But really, we're going to get down to the issue of what things that idols actually create disillusionment and foster disappointment. You know, I know maybe you've never had this happen before. I remember one time I got this brand new car and it was kind of cool. But it was a wintry day. I went out to start it and it did not start. I don't care how new it was. It wasn't going nowhere. And I was so proud of the thing. I wanted to show all my friends my new car. It didn't go nowhere. It didn't say, uh-uh. It didn't say nothing. It didn't. My idol wasn't doing nothing for me. And I was just so proud of that. But let's get into this. Paul was provoked because he saw a city given over to idols. And I don't think it's any different than what we, if we were looking at America today, that we're given over to things. And it's more than the idea of keeping Portland weird. Portland's not the only place, even though we're up there. But it's an epidemic. And it's permeated our culture to the point that the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer will be agitated by the presence of false god and hedonistic worship. And if you're not agitated by this, I think we've become used to being weird. There's things that used to turn your head that now don't turn your head anymore. They don't. Now, I'm not trying to be offensive to folks, but you know, now that same-sex marriage has been legalized, when we see people doing various things on the street corner, it's not the fact that we need to be jeering and screaming at folks. But we've gotten used to it. We've gotten used to things being said. We've gotten used to the F-bomb being dropped anywhere, at any time, in any place. We have shielded ourselves, and we've just kind of taken it out to kind of survive. I'm going to be very timely about this, but I think there's another thing that we need to think about is discontent and spiritual agitation will affect the heart of those who choose to follow after Jesus. You know, if you get too comfortable in this world, I'll guarantee you, you'll be just like it. When tears don't flow at the various time, when you see some, not just injustice flowing in the house, but you see things that are totally contradictory to what God would have, and we just kind of idolize the fact of the freedom of our culture can become an idol. The freedom of expression can become an idol. And we don't want to invade upon that because we've raised that above the humanity and dignity of mankind. And so that's just kind of an interesting thing that we can get ourselves involved in. Well, people given over to idolatry create a culture that questions anything that would oppose their realm of thought and belief. It's a culture. You don't have to subscribe to it. It will happen to you. It will take over your thinking. God's at battle for our hearts come down to one word, and we'll emphasize this probably for the rest of this morning. It's a word called choice. Adam and Eve had a choice whether or not they're going to obey. And they made a choice not to obey, and it's affected everyone since that particular time. It all came down to a choice. So let's examine it in light of what we're doing. All belief is centered around choice. You choose to believe or you choose not to believe. Isn't it interesting that sometimes you can acquiesce to someone or you can just kind of give in to them just so they'll leave you alone, but it really hasn't changed how you feel? Whatever. Go ahead. But it hasn't changed you. You know what they call that? Tolerance. God does not want to be tolerated. He wants to be worshiped. Worship and toleration are not the same thing. Oh, I'll tolerate another worship song. Oh, we go mess with you today. God bless you. Well, it's centered around choice. Choice is the formal engagement to what we have chosen to be truth. Now, do you realize this? You can choose to believe a lie. All right? I believe I can fly. No, you can't. Believe it all you want to, baby. You jump off this stage, you're going down, okay? You can believe a lie. And that's what idolatry is all about. You choose to believe a lie, but it seems so plausible and it seems so reasonable that I just got to jump on this bandwagon. And Paul is, he enters it, he says, my goodness, you folks are into it. You got gods everywhere. And then just in case you miss one, he says, to the unknown God, the one we hadn't given a name yet. Here's what Ecclesiastes, this is one of the times when Solomon was having a little identity crisis. But in one of the things he said in chapter 3, I believe, of Proverbs, and God has set eternity in the heart of every man. You know what that means? Even if to the person that says, I'm an atheist and I don't believe, there's something in there that says, has this little tantalizing, but I don't know about that. There's something about this that maybe I may not be on this expression, but I'm going to live on, and I need to figure it out. But you can try to suppress it with the lie of Satan, but we'll move beyond that for the moment. Truth is based upon what we have selected to satisfy our reality that will serve our system of beliefs, often based upon experience. That's a big statement, and I want to break it down for you because I don't want you to miss the truth that's behind it. It's very simply this. Truth, or what we, now remember, Jesus is the only truth. He's not a postulate, he is the truth. Okay. It's based upon what we have selected to satisfy our reality. I don't have to ask you this question, I know it's true. Some people have a different reality than yours. All right, let me go to the test. Let's say, oh, isn't this beautiful? Wasn't that a great movie? You're thinking, what movie were you at? Our realities are not the same. And it was, what we thought was a great experience, saying, I will never, ever do that again. And other people, they're ready to take it, you know, for an award. I'm trying to tell you, break this down to the fact of how we get off on this little sidebar, where it's based upon our system of beliefs that are based upon our experience. Our experience is this is better, the best I've ever had. Ever had someone give you a recipe for the best they've ever had? Mm-hmm. Whoa, okay. I got more on that. I'll get to it in just a minute, okay? Belief in Jesus and the power of the resurrection is a foreign doctrine to postmodern culture because it mentions this, Paul mentions this in this particular text, you know, about the whole resurrection type thing. But here's the deal. It's foreign doctrine to the postmodern culture. Now, some of you don't know what postmodern is. So let me define it for you. There is a culture that exists that maybe you haven't been aware of up to this particular point, but it goes beyond the fact of what you learned in Sunday school, if indeed you went there. And this culture says all of that is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. What matters is what we experience now. What matters now is what we can legislate. What matters now is what we as a people have decided what is actually true and should be incorporated into our society. Now, that's kind of a broad brush stroke, but it's basically saying this. Is it? It's a subjective behavior. Or what you feel is good, well, that's good. Well, here we go into this, and we're going to take it to another level. People, listen to me carefully here, really do want to know about Jesus, regardless of what you may think. They're going to try to brainwash them. Oh, nobody wants to talk about Jesus. Nobody wants to talk about. That is a lie. But what they've done, they've talked you into saying, well, nobody wants to, everyone's kind of going away for Jesus is not a religion. He's a person. He's a reality. He's live. He's living inside of me. But when you've pushed yourself off in the corner and we can't talk about Jesus, you have bought into the lie of the world. And you've idolized the fact of freedom and become put yourself in bondage. I'm going to go one step further. Get ready for this one. Person asks you, well, what do you do? Get ready. Well, first of all, before I tell you what I do, let me tell you who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus. Ever told somebody that? You want to start the you shouldn't preach to people. You shouldn't push your religion off on folks. I ain't pushing off religion. That's telling a fact of who I belong to. The first thing you need to know, he said, well, I might lose the sale. It's going to get rough, y'all. What I'm going to tell you right then, you idolize more of what they're going to give you than you do your relationship with Jesus. I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit tells you that you need to identify who you belong to and you suppress that and you go to the next page that says, this is what I want to identify because it'll be to my advantage. There's a problem. You've made an idol out of an identity that really doesn't matter because when you get to heaven, God is not going to lie to you. Now, what was your job down there on earth? You were the manager of what? CEO? Oh, yeah, CFO? Really? All jobs up here are taken. We don't need your kind here. We need worshipers and believers, and we need those people that will humbly bow at the foot of Jesus and thank him all day long. Wow. Praise God, I'm doing my best. To some people, the story of Jesus really is new news. In our postmodern culture, it is a new news experience. Idol worship can very easily result in the pursuit of something new and unusual or fashionable. If you go back to the text, it says, these people, they would gather around, and their goal was they would just gather around, and if you go back a few verses, I'll read this to you. It says, and for your bringing us, goes back. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him and said to him, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods. They're talking about Paul. Because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to Areopagus. And he says, may we know what is this new doctrine of which you speak? And this is what this says. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. And all of the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear something new. Sound familiar? Looking for the newest thing. Some of the captive people say, oh my goodness, do you see what Google's doing? The latest thing, oh my goodness. Driverless cars, can you imagine that? We just got all this stuff, and it just, we said, where is it going to go? There's no end. Just wait. Idols can easily, very easily, result in pursuit of something new, unusual, or fashionable. While religion is often installed in the hearts of those who choose to believe something is an object of their affections. Can we just stop for a moment and really focus on the fact, what is really the true object of your affections that really, really captures you? Well, disappointment is often the result of the discovery that what we chose to worship was never what we perceived it to be. Can I talk about that for a moment? I'm going to go a little bit deeper into relationships. It may be painful for some, but the end result is healing. I know most of us as human beings have invested ourselves emotionally into something or someone, and it didn't turn out the way we thought it was. Or it was for a while, but as time went on, something happened and it fell apart. I need to tell you this. That'll never happen with Jesus. Because he's genuine from the beginning. There is no false, there's no turning of shadows in him. He's a complete, accurate revelation of the Godhead. There's no hidden agenda as far as that's concerned. Well, I know you've all heard this statement. It tastes just like chicken. How many things have they told you that taste just like chicken? I know it's rattlesnake, but it tastes just like chicken. I don't care. I know they're roasted grasshoppers, but you know, it kind of has a crunchy chicken taste to it. I'll tell you what, you can keep whatever it is. Give me some chicken. I got to tell you this story real quick. I remember this one time. I had some roommates. This is years ago. I lived over on 13th Siskiyou. One day, one of my friends, I had fixed Southern fried chicken one time. Now, Southern fried chicken is baptized in grease. Yeah. Baptized and immersed. Get that grease hot. Throw a little sprinkle of water in there. It goes, that's, it's time to put it in. My friend decided he's going to make fried chicken. I gave him the recipe. He called and said, I'm going to make some fried chicken. You know, I said, okay, well, here's the recipe, and this is how you do it, and this is how I cut chicken, this, you know, here's the seasoning, blah, blah, blah. And put it, roll in the flour and this type of thing. Put a pan of grease on the stove, and then, you know, and then put the chicken in there, and there you go. One thing I forgot to tell him. Heat up the oil before you put in the chicken. This is a true story. So he did everything I told him to do. But I didn't tell him the one important thing, you got to heat the oil before you put in the chicken. Woo! That chicken was shining like a military man's pair of shoes. Or it got fried at some point. But I tell you, indigestion, Rolaids, and everything else they had couldn't solve the problems that it created. Now, this was chicken, but it didn't taste like chicken. You can mess up anything. I don't care what it is. Let me get back to the story. But I had to tell you that, because here's the thing. It's just like, no, it's not. There's no one who compares who Jesus is. And we've accepted a substitute in the place of the reality of who the Godhead is. Well, what does that mean? The unknown God takes on the persona of what we cannot comprehend or describe, but know in our hearts that it exists. I want to say this to some people here today that they're kind of in the courtroom of debate. If there's some things that you don't know about God, that can be answered today in the person of Jesus. Let me work toward the end of what we'll talk about today. The God who made the world and everything that's in it. Acts 17, verse 24. This is Acts 17, verse 24. I think that's 17:17. Is that right? 17, you got 17 over there, verse 24? No, we'll get it there. Don't worry about it. But the thing about this, we'll get there in just a moment. It doesn't matter. Okay, there we go. Okay. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Now, all of us, that can be very confusing for some people. Because I've seen some phenomenal places. I've had the opportunity to visit places in various countries, and they have these beautiful, breathtaking steeples and places like this. Oh, you're just kind of there in awe and splendor. It doesn't matter. God is conspicuously absent. We get caught up in what we make. Well, God does not dwell. Jesus dwells in the hearts of everyone who has given him access to their soul. You say, well, I thought Jesus dwells in our heart. Love the Lord with all your heart, and your soul has to be involved. This means this. He is not confined to buildings or anything that man can make in his honor. Our best worship in lifting our hands will not complete what is necessary to give him what he truly desires. Now, let me explain that to you. I believe raising our hands is a phenomenal thing. It's like a surrender. It's like saying, God, take over as far as that's controlled. But you know what? As good as that feels, or as absent of ourselves as we feel that thing of abandonment, we're not there yet. You say, what? What else can I do? God's not only looking at the posture of your hands. He's looking on what's going on in your heart. And the two have to be connected. Because I've said it before, and I apologize to you if it sent you down the wrong road. I said, everybody lift your hands. I said, okay, I'll lift my hands. And you expect something magical to happen. Oh, Pastor said, lift our hands so I know the glory of God's in the house. Well, not necessarily. Your hands may be up, but your heart may be closed. Jesus does not need our worship to survive. Where did that come from? I used to think that we made Jesus happy when we worshiped him. I did. I mean, that was my level of thinking. Let's make the Lord happy today. Let's clap. Let's dance. Let's do all those different things. You know what? That was just my own thing. Let me help you with that. What we choose to idolize, we desire to receive some great gratification from it. You know, I know you remember the Beatles era. I'm almost done, but here goes. Remember the, how many are Beatle era people? And when they hit like a storm, they're at Ed Sullivan's show, and people just falling out and screaming and doing all types of different things. They're in a frenzy. And I think it only took one to get it started, and everybody else jumped on the bandwagon. Because it becomes a frenzy. Because, well, that's what you're supposed to do, scream and yell and cry and just manifest. Not necessarily. When we choose to worship in spirit and truth, we experience life and love eternal from the maker of all things. All of a sudden, heaven comes down and glory fills your soul, and there's no word to describe it. Seriously speaking, he has made everything from one blood, every nation of men on earth. Idols are often pursued as we grasp for significance in something or someone to bestow our affections upon. Everybody got to worship something or someone. Now, here's the part that may be kind of tough for all of us, because we must be careful not to adopt the idol of achievement as our identity and self-worth, which means that we are often we are the true offspring of an almighty God, and in him we live, we move, and have our being. In him. Anything outside of that really doesn't have significance. What can I tell us today that kind of summarize all of this? And I want to make it really clear and really simple. Because there's one thing in this particular passage that cannot escape our notice. And it says, you know, there was a time when God just kind of, you know, kind of winked at ignorance. But he doesn't do that anymore. You say, well, some people just don't know. Well, what does that mean? It means simply this, that we're all accountable. Or we cannot plead ignorance or seek excuses for not acknowledging God for who he is. He said, well, I just didn't know. And God says, that ain't going to work. I said, what? Let me show you why it won't work. How we identify ourselves to others will expose what we really believe about God. And what we choose to focus on our life on will reveal the source of our belief and trust. Here's the part that really hit me. Guilt and shame serve us in our lives when we can be assured that is what is not through the relationship that we have with Jesus has offered to his followers. Guilt and shame will displace what Jesus has offered to us, because the enemy, that's what he uses. Before you can really get your hands up in the air and really begin to worship Jesus, all of a sudden, some thought about, yeah, but you know what you did. Yeah, you know this isn't really complete in your life. And so you really can't worship God. God doesn't want anything to do with you. Well, when we look for someone other than Jesus to complete ourselves, call it identity, it's idolatry. And here's the part where it gets really, really sensitive and close to home. Worship team, you can come back to this direction. I'm just about done. Obviously, we were made for the Lord and his glory, but get this. Now, listen to me carefully. Our wives, our husbands, our families, our friends are precious gifts from God, but they were never intended to be a substitute for the Lord in our lives. What are you saying? I love my wife and my children with every fiber that I can say as a human being. But I got to tell you something. I love Jesus more. And they're not even competing. There isn't a level of their family's over here, Jesus over here, and they're Jesus is way up here. And because I'm down here on earth, you can have all the stuff here. But as far as going to the place with Jesus, there is no comparison. You know, the Lord says some things that are pretty profound. He says, he who doesn't love me, you know, doesn't hate his brother, his father, and mother, this type of thing, cannot be my disciple. You say, what kind of religion is that? It's not. He's saying that the comparison of my relationship, your relationship with me and anybody else is so different, is as if you hated them, but you don't have to hate them. And the real question is, how do we get there? Well, a couple of things. There is an aloneness and loneliness in all of us that only Jesus can fill. I'm going to say it again because this is the apex of our message today. There's an aloneness and a loneliness in all of us that only Jesus can fill. And that's the reason why we're going to end where we just sang a few moments ago that Jesus is here. Everything you need is here. Would you begin to play that a little bit, Brother Paul? And then I want to set the atmosphere for what I believe what God wants to do today. You came through these doors this morning, and I don't know what the level of stress or problems that you were facing. But there's something about it when we even began to sing that song, the Lord just began to create a harmony in my spirit that says, you know, whether it's finances you're struggling about, whether it's an addiction you're struggling about, whether it's some other particular issue you're struggling with right now, I need to tell you right now that Jesus is here. You say, well, in this building? No. Let me personalize it. He's ready to occupy that place in your life that you would surrender to him, that he may complete what you've always wanted. I want you to take this word, everything you need, not only is here, but it's in Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to invite you when we sing this song again, that you have a need of anything from Jesus, that you'd come to this altar today and say, you know, everything I need is in Jesus. Father, I pray that no one would hang back and no one would feel intimidated, no one would feel so small, and even someone who may have been disobedient last night, last week, this morning on their way to church. But Lord, at this moment, they're realizing who they need the most is Jesus. Lord, he can take the sorrow, he can take the pain, he can take away the guilt, he can bring the healing. So Lord, when we stand and sing this song, I pray that people would just find their way out of their seat to stand at this altar and receive everything they need from you. Would you stand with us? We're going to sing that song, Whatever You Need. I want you to just step out and just come because Jesus is here. That's right. Come on, Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. we'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.